desire and interest in your prayers tonight as we look into the Word of God. Message that the Lord has put on my heart to share this evening is very simple, easily understood. It's found over in the book of Acts in the 26th chapter. I'd like to consider Paul just a little bit this evening. Paul was a man that you read your Bible very much and you're going to come across him quite a bit in the New Testament. The Lord used Paul in a wonderful, mighty way. But Paul had not always been a Christian. But he had grown up a very religious man. As a child, as a young child, he'd been raised and taught. He testified in the 26th chapter where we will read a little bit. He had testified to being raised and being one of the strictest of the Pharisees. So he had a good knowledge of what the prophets taught. He had a good knowledge of what we call the Old Testament now. He was well versed in that, and he was zealous after the things of the law. He was zealous in keeping the law. But something that is very noteworthy tonight about Paul, his name was Saul before he was converted, was that he testified later on that he was a wretched and miserable man. That tells us right there that religion will never satisfy. Coming to church will never satisfy that longing that is in the spirit. He was a strict. He kept the law again religiously and strictly. Do you know that we can be as careful in some things? In some things we need to be very careful about. Don't misunderstand. But following the letter of a law will never satisfy. It will never bring soul peace. Because Paul was a wonderful example of a man who had his T's crossed and I's dotted, and yet he recognized that he was incapable of overcoming that force within him of the flesh and of sin. And that made him wretched. Do you know that tonight that we can have grown up knowing these wonderful truths in the Bible? We can have been raised hearing about what the Lord Jesus can do, but unless we have a personal experience of Christ in our life, trying to follow a set of regulations will never satisfy that longing that's in our hearts. So we find that Paul was standing before King Agrippa, and he shared his testimony. I'd like us to take, by the help of the Lord, a little bit of time tonight and read that testimony. Paul stood before King Agrippa, and we'll begin reading with verse 11. As you know, Paul was out, Saul, as he was known before he was converted, he had a purpose in life. And his purpose, he thought, was doing God's will. But his purpose was really working contrary to God's purpose. You know, sometimes people think they're doing God's will, but in reality, they're working contrary to God's purpose. Such was the life of Saul. And he was out persecuting the Christians because he did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He believed in the law. He believed in the Mosaic Law, religiously again. But he did not believe that Jesus was the promised one. And so he was out persecuting the Christians, putting them to death, putting them in prison. In verse 11 he said, I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, those that were in leadership, the chief priest, gave him unction to go and persecute the Christians. And so he was not alone in what he was doing. He had people of power that agreed with him. There's another point for us to get hold of. Just because someone in position or authority agrees with you does not make it right. Amen? All of the endorsements from all of those in political leadership and all the professing ministries and commissions and boards, just because we have their endorsement will not bring the anointing and power of God. So he was on a mission. He had a purpose. And he said at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Thank God tonight for a light that still shines from heaven when our purpose is contrary to God's purpose. Oh, talk about the faithfulness of God tonight. He was on the road to Damascus and he said there was a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. I believe the sun, and correct me if I'm wrong, 91 to 93 million miles away. But there was a light that was brighter and it was above the sun and it got his attention. Folks, the Lord is still in the business of getting our attention tonight. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, that's your light. If the Lord is talking to you tonight, if the Lord has been dealing with you, whether in this meeting or in the quietness of your car or your home, I want you to recognize it is a blessed thing to have the Lord reveal Himself to us. It is a privilege. I count it as a privilege, not only when I got saved, but in times I didn't know what to do, or times maybe I was starting to go the wrong direction, and the Lord shone a light down from heaven, and He got my attention, and He began to talk to me. That's a wonderful privilege tonight. Don't be afraid of the voice of God tonight. Don't be afraid of when the Lord begins to deal with you. It is a privilege for the Lord to come and make Himself manifest to us. I saw a great light. He said, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Isn't it interesting that he called him Lord? I think he already knew who it was. But yet, he wanted some confirmation. He wanted to hear for himself, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. All doubt has been passed away. There's no doubt now who's talking to you. I am Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. You're working in cross purposes to my purpose because I am the risen Lord. I am Jesus Christ. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. We're going to stop there for a moment. Paul was seeking to persecute God's people. That was his purpose. There are, you know, for all of us, before we really meet the Lord Jesus for ourselves, we have purposes in life, don't we? And you know, there's nothing wrong with some purposes. The problem is when our purposes work contrary to God's purpose. Because if anybody ought to be in an industrious people with plans and purposes, it ought to be God's people. God's people shouldn't be a lazy people sitting on the couch waiting for the Lord to return. We ought to have plans and goals and purposes in life. But there is a purpose that rises above all other purposes in life. Well, before we meet the Lord, before we meet Jesus, there are so many that are following after purposes of this world, trying to find fulfillment. Tonight, if you're not saved and you're looking to the things of this world to fulfill that vacancy and that void, and maybe you don't even recognize that it's a vacancy, but you feel driven and you're feeling pushed because you're looking for something more than what you have, Tonight I want to remind you in the love of God that those things are never going to satisfy that deepest longing that's in your heart. Some people turn to the pleasures of the flesh. And do you notice I said pleasures of the flesh? Because there are some things in the flesh that bring pleasure for a season. The other side of that is it brings death. But there are things that people think, if I can just enjoy this and enjoy that, that it will somehow satisfy that deepest need. Tonight, it does not matter how little or how much you know of religious and spiritual things. There is nothing that is going to satisfy you and give you peace until you open up your heart to Jesus Christ. So simple. But yet so many people are missing this fundamental truth. I think of the song, and maybe Renee, if you could lead a verse of it for us. Song that says, "The only real peace I have, O Lord, is in you." The verse said, I searched and I searched the world over to fulfill my soul. When I came back from searching, I found I was nowhere at all. The end of the story is, the only real peace, Lord, I have is in you. Can we sing that? Yes, thank you, Lord. Didn't have to look anymore because he found it. It's the only real peace tonight. You don't have peace tonight. It's only found in Jesus Christ. All of the world, the pleasures of the flesh, all the position, power, money in this world is never going to satisfy that longing that's in our hearts. True peace tonight is only found in fulfilling God's purpose for our life. In that day on the road to Damascus, when the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul, Saul found what he had actually been looking for a long time. And it wasn't found in a group. It wasn't found in finding another sect of the Pharisees. It was not found in joining himself with a man or something somewhere. It was found when he got a vision and he saw Jesus Christ. Tonight, if there is ever a time, and I know I'm talking tonight to most of you, if not all of you, have known truth for many, many years, but there is nothing in that that will bring soul peace until you personally see Jesus Christ. But when you get a real vision of who Jesus is, it will transform your life. There is no religion, there is nothing that man has to offer me that can supersede what Jesus has done in my life. He has satisfied me. He has fulfilled me. I find that His purpose gives me meaning to life. It has shaped my life. It has molded my life. It has changed my life. And it is because of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to do that for you tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you will begin to seek Him, You will find him when you seek for him. Lord, give us some more Damascus Road experiences. I have never been on the literal Damascus Road. I've never been to where I saw that bright light physically, way up in the heavens. But do you know the Lord has revealed himself to me just as clearly? That there was no doubt in my mind, in my confusion. And I can testify to you saints, even after I was saved and had the Holy Spirit working in my life, in times where it seemed so dark. And yet what kept me going was a light. And it was the light of Jesus Christ. That no words that could be offered, no prayers that could be prayed could do it, but it was the knowledge that Jesus is my Savior and He is the Son of God. Oh, I wouldn't trade that for the world tonight. And I am so thankful that if there is anybody that is hungry and thirsting for something more than what you have tonight, the Lord wants to let you see Him. And you say, Lord, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus. Oh, do you know that sometimes we have questions? Sometimes we're seeking and we're looking for purpose in life. Lord, I want direction. I need you to guide me. Folks, what we need to see in those times of confusion, we need to see Jesus. Because if we will keep Jesus in view, everything is going to keep their proper perspective. And sometimes it is a reality that sometimes Jesus starts getting a little bit blurry. We come back and say, Lord, I want to see you more clearly. I want to get reoriented. I want it, Lord, I don't want to lose my way. Do you know that this light that Paul saw on the road to Damascus when he saw Jesus, do you know that during times of persecution, during times of tribulation, during times when he was mistreated and people didn't accept him, do you know that this, I have to believe that this vision of Jesus Christ kept him going. This is what will get you through times in life when it seems like you want to throw your hands up in the air. When you have seen the Lord, you have reason to keep going because I'm not living this way for things around about me. I'm not living this life to try to gain this and that. But Lord, my purpose is to fulfill your purpose. And when you see Jesus, it will give you courage and it will give you strength. Can you imagine the difference in Saul's life and even in our life if Saul would have rejected that vision? You know, all the current that we read about how God used him and those that he ministered to, what would have happened if he would have ignored his vision of Jesus Christ? Tonight, this little message is to all of us. If there's ever a time we need some divine revelation, it's now. And we need to give great respect, sinner and saint alike tonight, when the Lord talks to your heart. You may say, how does he talk to you? Yes, I've had the Lord talk to me just like I'm talking to you. Not audibly, but the Lord has spoken to me, and so there was no doubt, but it was the Lord. But there are things that when the Lord comes along and he begins, you feel that drawing in your spirit. Maybe there's something the Lord is talking to you about that he's calling for you to lay aside, and you just feel that uncomfortable feeling and you feel something drawing. Maybe you sit in the service and you don't know what it means. There was, when we were in Mexico last week, there was one of the ladies there that was talking to one of the sisters there in Spanish, and She said, I didn't understand. She couldn't hear in the service. She said, I didn't understand everything, but she said, there was something that was pulling in my heart. She didn't know what that was. And the sister told her, she said, that was the Lord talking to you. Tonight, when you feel and experience that within that is drawing you to something more than what you have, that's the Lord. But it's up to us what we're going to do with that. Are we going to ignore it and go on? Do you know there is great danger tonight in ignoring that revelation of God, whether it's through the draw of His Spirit, conviction, whether it's through the written word, the preached word, or again, however the Lord is drawing you, it is a serious thing to ignore it, because when the Lord reveals Himself, folks, that is a great opportunity. And if we neglect these opportunities when the Lord deals with us, what's going to happen if we ignore it? Is it going to happen again? Is the Lord going to give us another Damascus Road opportunity? Maybe. But do you know what maybe means? It also means maybe not. Because that was the opportunity. And I would just ask us tonight, in love, what are you doing with the dealings of God in your life? When He begins to reveal His purpose, the purpose of Christ was to save His people from their sin. Scripture over in 1 John 3:8 say, "For this cause was the Son of God manifested." For this purpose, for this reason, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Saul had not experienced that before. Religion cannot do that for us. Being a pretty good person cannot do that for us. Folks, it takes the power of Jesus Christ that can enable me to do what I couldn't do before. Jesus can enable you to do what you can't do for yourself. But it's up to us when the Lord comes along in His love and in His long suffering, and He appears to us. He talks to us and He draws us. Now the choice is ours. Are we going to listen? Or are we going to ignore it and go our way? True peace is only found in fulfilling God's purpose. And His first purpose for all of our lives tonight is that we might be saved from our sin. Saved from ourself. Saved from the power of the flesh. So have you heard His voice? What have you been doing with it? I'm not sure. Lord, who art Thou? I'm Jesus. You've been living at some cross purposes. Tonight, we're not quite finished here. But tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not saved tonight, the Lord loves you. And my heart is so burdened when I think about how many times people have rejected the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I've known people that have rejected it on their deathbed. And they went out into eternity unprepared to meet God. And I thought, Lord, You are so faithful. You are so good to them. But tonight, this is the goodness of God that shows us His purpose. I'm before You, Saul. I'm Jesus. And I want to turn your life around. And then He went on to say, I have appeared to thee for this purpose, number one, to be saved. But now God had a further purpose. He said, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Folks, the message was, Saul, I want to change your life, but I want you to go and tell other people that Jesus is alive. I want you to go and tell them that Jesus is real. Who art Thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. I'm the one that can be your friend in trouble, times of trouble. I'm the one that can wipe your eyes when you cry and you're in sorrow. I'm the one that can give you grace when you begin to start feeling frustrated with things in life. I'm the one that can be beside you to give you grace and enable you to rise above yourself. I'm Jesus. I'm the one that died for you to transform your life. And I want you to go and tell other people that I'm alive. I want you to go and convince them by the prophets and by your own experience that Jesus is real. This is not just a fairy tale. But now I want you to take this personal experience, and I have a job for you to do. And he said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Tonight, God's purpose primarily is that we might be saved from the power of sin. But the Lord did not just have that purpose in mind. He also has a purpose not only for Saul, but for all of us. He has a plan and a design for our life. He told the prophet Jeremiah, as he did Isaiah, I knew you in the womb, and I formed thee to be a servant. I've given you a call. I have a purpose for you and a design for your life. And he said to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. What a beautiful, simple message that Jesus preached to Saul that day. I have a purpose for you. Tonight, the Lord has a purpose for each and every one of us. To the unsaved, the Lord wants you to be saved tonight. But after we are saved, you know, the Lord comes back along and he starts revealing himself. I have something I want you to do. And I know that sometimes, especially when we're young, we're still learning the voice of God. And we're still learning and we're seeking him to understand his purpose and his plan for our life. But do you know that when we don't know and when we don't understand, it's when the Lord wants us to come and say, Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose. I don't want to get caught up in a contrary purpose. I don't want to live my life and get to the end and say, what have I done with my life? But Lord, I want to please you. I want to serve you acceptably. And if there's some little place, if there's at least maybe one person even, that I can share this testimony of what Jesus has done in my life, do you know that's worth a lifetime of labor? I've been reminded many times, you know, they mentioned this afternoon in the missionary report, Brother Doug mentioned, you know, many times 20, 30 people will come to pray. And that's a reality. But how many times have you labored? And you go away wondering, was it in vain? It doesn't have to be in a foreign land. It can be right here in this meeting. You wonder, Lord, or maybe your neighbors, those that you're working with, you say, Lord, was this in vain? And the Lord has talked to me so many times, and he said, if you give your whole life and one person can be saved, it's worth it. Because if it were my soul, and it took all your money and all your time and it took your health, but I would be saved from hell because you were there faithful to God's purpose to be a friend to me, oh, thank you. It was worth it. I tell you, it was worth it. The Lord has a purpose for all of us tonight. But what are we doing? When the Spirit of the Lord comes to prepare us to fulfill His purpose, and He's wanting to shape us and mold us, and He wants us to be dedicated and consecrated, willing, Lord, to do whatever you want me to do, we're going to have some struggles on that line. Jesus Himself did. God's purpose was for him to go to the cross and die, suffering that we might be saved. But in the flesh, you know, Jesus in the flesh recoiled. In the flesh, he drew back, and that's why he had to keep on praying, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. Because, Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose in my life. To the unsaved, God has a purpose for you tonight. You don't have to go on in this meeting wondering what it would be like to have the joy of the Lord. You don't have to go on from this service tonight wishing that you had peace. Just wondering what it would really be like to have the things you've heard preached and testified about. You can have it tonight. To those that know the Lord, God has a purpose for you. And when He talks to you, when He reveals Himself, the question is still for us tonight, who is willing to be faithful to the purpose that the Lord is calling us to? And so, in conclusion of his testimony to King Agrippa, Paul said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." I wasn't disobedient. The Lord revealed himself to me, and I said yes to the Lord. Tonight, as we conclude, is there anybody that would like to say yes tonight to the Lord? "Lord, I want to be saved. I've heard your voice. I felt you drawing me." And if you love the Lord tonight and you're saved and you know the Lord is calling for a deeper level, we heard in the service this morning as well, the Lord is calling for a deeper level of consecration that we could fulfill God's purpose in our life. So what are we doing with the dealings of the Lord? Folks, the Lord's not going to force us. He's not going to coerce us. The Lord doesn't want to put us on a guilt trip either, because this is all voluntary service. But when the Lord reveals himself and he calls, is there anybody tonight that will say yes to the Lord? "I don't want to be unfaithful to the heavenly vision." May the Lord bless you.